So, we've all gotten pretty used to setting up those simple, kind of rigid automation chains, you know, the classic if this, then that logic. But what happens when your AI assistant needs to, well, move beyond those static rules?
Yeah, exactly. What happens when it actually has to think, maybe reason, and adapt its own workflow, in real time even, based on the data it's seen? OpenAI's new tool, Agent Builder, it promises exactly that: intelligent, adaptive automation.
And I guess the central question that's really echoing across the developer community right now is, well, is this tool truly the Zapier killer everyone seems to be talking about? Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking a slow, considered look, really tearing apart the comprehensive guides that define this new Agent Builder ecosystem. Yeah, our mission today is pretty clear. We need to unpack how this visual drag and drop platform really shifts workflow creation, moving it away from just sequential steps towards, well, intelligent, adaptive agents.
So we'll look at the core components, the massive superpower of its connectivity engine, that's the model control protocol, and then some advanced features like the custom visual widgets and the security guardrails, and importantly, its current, real-world limitations. Beat.
Okay, let's unpack that core philosophical shift first. You said Agent Builder is fundamentally agent-centric. For someone used to like linear flowcharts, what does that actually mean in practice?
It means you're basically not building a script anymore that just follows one preset path.
Yeah.
You're actually building a kind of synthetic intelligence, an AI assistant that can reason, choose actions, and then execute them on its own. Think of it like this. Traditional tools are kind of like conveyor belts, right? This is more like hiring a project manager who can actually make decisions.
That's a pretty big conceptual leap. And you mentioned it's powered by ChatGPT-5, so that brings the advanced reasoning. We should probably also note where you actually find this tool.
Oh, definitely. That's an important distinction. You won't find Agent Builder next to your regular custom GPTs in the normal interface. You access it through the OpenAI developer platform. There's a dedicated build agents menu. It's clearly a space meant for more serious, production-ready building and deployment.
Okay, so if we boil it right down, what's the single biggest conceptual difference between this system and something more traditional, like, say, Zapier?
It builds decision-making AI,
Yeah.
fundamentally, not just those static automation paths we're used to.
All right, let's get under the hood then. The heart of Agent Builder seems to be that visual canvas where you build these flows by connecting different operational blocks. Tell us a bit about these nodes, the Lego blocks of logic, maybe.
Absolutely, yeah, Lego blocks are a good way to put it. You start with the start node, obviously. That's your trigger, your entry point for data. Then you quickly move to the key part. The agent nodes, these are the real brains powered by ChatGPT-5's reasoning capabilities. They handle all the complex decision-making.
Okay, so the agent nodes are the thinking core. What about the tools they actually use to interact with the outside world or internal data?
Right, that's where tool nodes come in. They're like the agent's muscles. This includes internal stuff like web search and file search, which is super useful, but it also includes external model control protocol or MCP servers, which we'll definitely dive into more detail on shortly. And then finally, you have transform nodes for, manipulating data between steps and output nodes for delivering the results. Whether that's just plain text or maybe structured JSON data, I find the flexibility around those agent nodes really interesting. The ability to tailor the thinking power. You can set the reasoning level, low, medium, or high. That tailoring is pretty vital for efficiency, actually. Low reasoning is great for quick, simple things like, say, formatting data or checking a quick fact. Medium is probably balanced for most common business tasks. High reasoning. That's reserved for genuinely complex problem solving, stuff like strategic analysis or auditing really lengthy documents, where the model needs to do some deep internal thinking before it acts.
So how does adjusting that reasoning level actually impact the workflow's performance in the real world? I'm thinking maybe speed or cost.
Well, higher levels use that deeper analytical thought for complex problems, which naturally takes more time and, yeah, incurs a higher operational cost. Low is optimized for quick, simple, cheaper tasks.
Okay, moving from theory to practice. Walk us through a common use case, creating a knowledge agent. How does Agent Builder turn, say, a pile of random documents into a smart, searchable knowledge base?
Yeah, this uses arc retrieval augmented generation right there on the canvas. It's pretty neat. You start by defining a really clear system prompt. You set the AI's persona and its rules, like you will answer questions about specific topic based only on the content provided.
Right, that sets the boundaries, tells it where to look.
Exactly. Then you bring in the file search tool node, you upload your documents, maybe PDFs, transcripts, specs, whatever. The system immediately indexes all that content. It basically creates this specialized query-ready knowledge base that the agent node can then access instantly.
And when you test this out in the preview pane, let's say you ask a question about a specific policy from one of those uploaded files. How does the system ensure integrity? Does it, like, point back to the source document?
It does, yeah. It gives you the relevant synthesized information, but critically, it includes those source citations right there in real time. The agent essentially proves its work by showing exactly where in the uploaded files it pulled the context from.
Yeah.
Beat. That level of transparency is just essential for building trust. You know?
What's really fascinating to me is how quickly the system seems to index and make potentially massive amounts of proprietary data accessible to that agent.
The indexing speed is phenomenal. Seriously, it feels almost instantaneous, which means you can iterate really quickly on your knowledge base as you build it out. Okay, this next piece feels like the part that truly differentiates Agent Builder. It's why people are calling it a potential disruptor. The Model Control Protocol, or MCP. This is the key to universal connectivity, is that right?
Yeah, the MCP is basically the specialized communication language that lets these reasoning AI agents talk to other software. But in a structured, decision-aware way, OpenAI includes some native MCP servers for the big ecosystems, you know, Google Workspace, Microsoft 365, Dropbox, that's handy.
But the real strategic move here seems to be the integration with the Zapier MCP server. Because that single connection, that gives your reasoning agent a gateway to over 8,000 applications, CRMs, specialized tools like 11 Labs for voice, social media, pretty much every corner of the digital world. And here's the key difference from just running a normal Zap. When the agent node is running its process, it reasons about the whole situation first, and then it decides if it needs to execute an action using, say, the Zapier muscle. It's an intelligent decision to use a tool. It's not just a mandatory step in a fixed sequence.
So let me make sure I understand that. How is using Zapier's MCP server inside Agent Builder different from just running a regular Zap externally?
The agent reasons about what external actions are needed within the workflow itself. It only uses Zapier as a specific targeted muscle when its reasoning determines that's the best next step. That's really the core power here. The agent is figuring out the optimal path using its ChatGPT-5 brain. And if that path involves sending an email or updating a CRM record or maybe generating a voice file, it just leverages the MCP for seamless execution.
Whoa. Okay. Imagine connecting that advanced ChatGPT-5 reasoning directly to 8,000 different apps. That's basically universal application connectivity, but at the decision-making layer.
Moment of wonder. Mm. The scale of that is just staggering. But let's pivot slightly and introduce a bit of a reality check here. We know this powerful connectivity sometimes struggles in practice. You attempted to build a pretty advanced multi-step content processing workflow. What actually happened? Yeah, so we tried to build an agent that would take a meeting transcript, analyze it, convert the key points into a structured JSON format, and then use the 11 Labs MCP server to generate an audio summary, you know, for like a team digest email.
Okay, that sounds like a fantastic, really high value use case, something lots of teams could use.
Yeah, theoretically. But it failed repeatedly. We ran into authentication complexities, persistent MCP errors when the agent tried to actually execute that external action with 11 Labs. The underlying issue really seems to be just early stage development pains, I think. But the real problem was the lack of clear feedback during the failure. It made troubleshooting almost impossible. It was a complex multi-step integration, sure, but the system just delivered a bad result every single time without much clue as to why.
That's a really important vulnerable admission for early adopters, I think. If you're building these complex sequences, you have to be prepared for this kind of instability right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And honestly, I still wrestle with prompt drift myself sometimes when trying these complex sequences. It's not always straightforward. When you introduce that external connectivity layer, the margin for error just shrinks rapidly. Mm. Powerful features, especially new ones, sometimes fail in early development. And that failure right now is kind of indisputable for these complex multi-tool workflows.
So what does that current lack of clear feedback during these MCP failures really imply for developers or, you know, early adopters trying this out?
It means troubleshooting complex, multi-step integrations is currently much more difficult than it probably needs to be. It requires significant patience and a lot of iterative testing. 2 seconds silence. Okay, let's maybe move past the execution layer for a moment and talk about the interface layer. You mentioned the widget revolution. This capability sounds pretty cool, creating custom interactive mini applications inside the chat interface itself.
Yeah, so we're talking about things like dynamic data tables, maybe complex forms or visual charts, things that go way beyond just simple text output.
Exactly that. And the amazing part is the creation process is almost entirely handled by natural language. You just change the agent's output node from text to widget, and then you literally just describe the visual you want.
Wait, so you could prompt for something like, I don't know, an NFL scores table styled dynamically by team colors, maybe with a show more toggle for detailed stats, and the system automatically generates the code for that.
Yeah, it auto-generates the HTML, CSS, and JavaScript needed to display that interactive responsive UI element right in the chat. You are literally using the agent node's reasoning power to write the front-end code purely from a natural language prompt.
So the AI is effectively writing the front-end code just from a description, creating a mini app inside the chat window.
That's the precise innovation, yeah. It auto-generates interactive responsive UI elements using natural language input. It potentially eliminates the need for separate front-end development, at least for simpler applications embedded in the chat. Okay, the final major piece of functionality we should cover is about control. Setting up guardrails. These sound like they act as an intelligent bouncer, right? Preventing misuse and maintaining the security and integrity of the agent's operations.
Mm-hmm. And these are crucial features, things like PII protection filtering, personally identifiable information content moderation, and the highly publicized jailbreak prevention feature.
Right. So the guardrail node basically acts as a pre-processing filter. It has two clear outputs, pass and fail. The pass path connects to your main helpful agent. Let's call it the joy bot. The fail path, that connects to what you might call the angry bot. This is an agent you specifically programmed to refuse malicious or inappropriate input very firmly.
And the guide mentioned a test that confirmed this protection works pretty well. When someone tried a classic jailbreak prompt, you know, trying to trick the AI into changing its identity or breaking its rules, the system successfully routed it down the fail path.
Yeah, exactly. The angry bot took over, delivered a firm refusal, and protected the agent's core function and its programmed rules. It really demonstrates the customization available to make sure the AI sticks to its intended role, even when someone tries to push it off track.
Now, are these guardrails mandatory for all agents? Or can users customize which security measures are active depending on the use case?
No, users can select and configure which checks are active. So things like PII filtering or jailbreaking detection, you can turn those on or off for specific use cases. If your agent handles sensitive financial data, you'd absolutely turn on PII protection. If not, maybe you don't need it.
Okay, let's step back again for that reality check and maybe compare the players directly. We've established Agent Builder is immensely powerful, potentially game-changing, but it's also, well, young.
Exactly. So when we put Agent Builder next to established tools like Zapier, we see that key trade-off pretty clearly. Agent Builder has that native, state-of-the-art ChatGPT-5 reasoning. It offers very high customization potential. But it comes with a moderate learning curve, and as we discussed, some current instability, especially in complex integrations.
And Zapier, by comparison.
Zapier is super beginner-friendly. It's very template-driven. It's stable, reliable, and requires almost no AI knowledge. But it lacks that deep, native decision-making intelligence within the workflow itself. It really relies on those static rules.
What about comparing it to something like NEN, the open source powerhouse?
Yeah, NEN is really for developers who need total control and flexibility. It's self-hostable, extremely customizable. But Agent Builder kind of trumps it with that built-in advanced AI reasoning and those interactive visual widgets we talked about. With NEN, you'd have to build those visual front-ends yourself externally. Agent Builder potentially brings that in-house.
Okay, so given the current instability we discussed, especially around authentication and external connectivity, is Agent Builder truly ready to, say, replace tools like Zapier for business-critical workflows right now?
Honestly. Not yet. Not completely. It's an incredibly powerful tool for prototyping and defining customized, intelligent AI reasoning flows. That part is undeniable. But the stability in the debugging tools really need to mature before it can fully replace the day-to-day reliability of established platforms like Zapier for critical tasks. And to succeed in this new paradigm, developers probably need to adjust their design principles a bit. The advice is, start simple, test frequently in that preview mode, and write really clear, specific instructions for the agent's reasoning process. Don't be vague.
Right. And the optimization principle still applies. Match the reasoning level, low, medium, high, to the actual task complexity. And manage your data context efficiently so the agent doesn't get, overwhelmed or confused. I think the key future implication here, the big picture, is this rapid shift toward agent-centric computing. It feels like agents are becoming the primary interface for handling complex digital workflows.
Which means the goal is moving away from building those rigid manual automation chains and focusing entirely on creating adaptive intelligent assistants instead.
Exactly. It reduces the need for, endless lines of pre-programmed if-then logic because the AI handles the intelligent decision-making part within the parameters you set for it.
So wrapping this up, what does this all mean for you, the listener, right now? Agent Builder marries the power of ChatGPT-5 with a visual design canvas. It uses the MCP to potentially connect to thousands of apps, and it introduces these custom visual widgets and robust security guardrails. It's making high-level AI functionality much more accessible.
Yeah, and the core philosophy is really shifting the programmer's role. Maybe less from writing logic, more towards training an assistant. Success seems to depend entirely on thinking like an AI trainer, writing those clear prompts, defining the boundaries, and focusing on building genuinely adaptive assistants.
It feels like a complete and maybe necessary rethink of how we approach digital automation. So here's a final thought to leave you with. If the future of digital work really is handled by these kinds of agents taking on not just the execution, but also the decision-making, how does your job description change when AI handles the execution? That's the big strategic question we should probably all be mulling over as this technology matures.
A powerful thought to end on. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the rapidly evolving world of Agent Builder. We definitely encourage you to explore the source material further if this sparked your interest.